Hello, everyone. I'm Aunt Sally, and this is the Story Shop. Gosh, I wonder where Princess Tamalpa is. I haven't seen her for 2 days, and she's never been late before.
Meow!
You're worried, too, aren't you, Foxtail?
Meow!
Whew! I didn't think I was going to make it today, Aunt Sally. What happened, Princess Tamalpa? Your clothes are torn and your face is dirty. Where have you been?
Well, I took a hike in Muir Woods and I wandered off the trail and couldn't find my way back.
Were you scared?
Not at first, but when it got dark, boy, was I scared.
Well, what did you do?
I found a dry place to spend the night, and I kept thinking about the story of Hansel and Gretel.
That's right. They were lost in the woods, too.
But they managed to get themselves out, and that's what kept me going.
Let's listen to the story of Hansel and Gretel.
On the edge of a forest, there once lived a woodcutter with his wife and 2 children, a boy named Hansel and a girl named Gretel. They were a poor family. Each day, the woodcutter went into the great forest with the children to cut down as much wood as they could, which they then hauled on a big wooden wagon to the nearby village to be sold. Times were hard, and they made barely enough money to feed themselves. Often they went to bed hungry. At night, in his bed, the woodcutter would toss and turn, groaning to his wife.
Oh, what's to become of us? How will the children be fed? There's no longer enough food even for ourselves.
But the wife had no sympathy for Hansel and Gretel, who were her stepchildren. She had married the woodcutter after his first wife died and didn't want to share him or the food with the children.
I'll tell you what, husband. Early tomorrow morning, we'll take the children into the forest to a place where the trees are thickest. Then we'll light a fire for them and give each one a piece of bread. Then we'll leave them alone and go do our work. Since they won't be able to find their way home again, we'll be rid of them once and for all.
No, wife, I will not do that. How can I leave my children alone in the forest where the wild animals would soon tear them to pieces? How can you suggest such a thing?
Oh, you fool! You may as well find the wood to make our coffins. If you don't listen to me, all 4 of us will die of hunger.
The woman kept at the poor man all through the night until he could no longer stand her harping and finally agreed to her plan.
All right, I'll do as you say, but only because they'll die of hunger anyway if they stay here, my poor, poor children.
While the parents had been awake and arguing, the 2 children also had been unable to sleep.
Do you think they mean what they say, Gretel?
I think they do. Oh, Hansel, what can we do? I'm so hungry, and now we're to be left alone in the forest.
Hush, Gretel. I'll try and think of something to help us.
Eventually, the woodcutter and his wife fell asleep. Hansel slid carefully out of his bed, crept across the room to where his coat hung on a chair, put it on, then silently opened the door and slipped outside. In the sky, the harvest moon was as round and full as an orange, lighting up the yard so that the white pebbles on the ground in front of the cottage glittered like real silver coins. Hansel bent over and grabbed a handful of pebbles and stuffed as many as he could into his coat pocket. Then he tiptoed back into the house, hung up his coat, and whispered to Gretel.
Don't worry, dear sister. I have a plan. You can sleep in peace, for God won't let us down.
Then he lay down in his bed again and went to sleep. It seemed like only moments later that he felt someone shaking his shoulder and yelling,
"Wake up, you wretches! We have to go to the forest to find wood. Get up and be quick about it."
"But the sun hasn't risen yet."
"Don't give me any of your lip, young man. Just do as I say."
Then the stepmother handed each child a piece of bread.
"Here, this bread is for your dinner, but don't eat it before then, for you'll get nothing else."
Gretel put the bread into her apron pocket. Then they all trudged out of the house toward the forest. After a short time, Hansel would stop every now and then and glance over his shoulder at the little cottage. He did it so often that finally his father asked,
"Hey there, Hansel! What are you looking at, boy? You're holding us up. You'd better pay attention to where you're going. You may not always have someone to watch out for you."
"Ah, Father, I'm looking at my little white cat. She's sitting on the roof watching us and wants to say goodbye to me."
"You fool, that's not your cat. That's the morning sun shining on the chimney."
Hansel knew his stepmother was right, but persisted in his lie so he could scatter the white pebbles on the road as trail markers. After walking for hours, they finally reached the middle of the forest.
"I'm awfully cold and hungry. Can't we stop now?"
"Yes, this place will do. I want you children to pile up some wood and I'll light a fire for you. Then you won't be so cold."
"Okay, Father. Come on, Gretel. Whoever gets the most wood can be the one to light the fire."
Soon there was a pile of wood as high as the children, blazing and snapping in the cool air. Hansel and Gretel stood before it, warming their bodies, their discomfort momentarily forgotten in the splendor of the flames. But then their concentration was broken when their stepmother called out,
"Children, your father and I are going into the forest to cut wood. We want you to lie down by the fire until we return. Now be quick about it."
Hansel and Gretel stayed by the fire as they had been instructed to do. Since they could hear what sounded like wood being chopped by an axe, they believed their father was nearby. What they didn't know was that their father had fastened a branch to a withered tree. Each time the wind blew, the branch swung backwards and forwards, making it sound like an axe hitting wood.
"Do you think it will be long before they return, Hansel?"
"It shouldn't be too much longer, Gretel. Why don't we have a little bread while we're waiting?"
"But we were to save it for our dinner."
"Never mind, a little won't hurt."
They sat for so long by the fire that after eating their bread, Hansel and Gretel could keep their eyes open no longer and fell fast asleep. When they awoke, Gretel cried out,
"Oh, Hansel, it's dark, and look, the fire has gone out. What are we to do now? Surely we'll die."
"Don't be afraid, sister. As soon as the moon has risen, we'll find our way home."
"But how?"
"I had a pocket full of pebbles that I dropped on the ground as we were walking. When the moon strikes them, they'll glow like silver coins."
Soon the moon had risen, and as Hansel had promised, the pebbles stood out in its light, making a clear trail for them to follow.
"We've been walking half the night, Hansel. I don't know if I can go any farther."
"It won't be much longer. Look, the forest is starting to thin out. We must be near its edge. Come, take my hand. We're almost there."
They soon reached the cottage, just as the sky had begun to get light. They knocked at the door, and a few moments later it opened.
"So there you are, you naughty children! Keeping your father and I up half the night worrying about you? You'll be punished for staying so long in the forest. We thought you'd never come back."
However, Hansel and Gretel knew their stepmother was lying and that they'd been left deliberately in the forest according to the plan she'd forced on their father. While the stepmother cursed the children's return, the woodcutter rejoiced, for it had cut him to the heart to leave them behind all alone. Food continued to be scarce, and it wasn't long before the stepmother began scheming again so that her portion could be increased. After everyone had gone to bed, she started in once more on the woodcutter.
"We've only half a loaf of bread left. After that's eaten, there's no more. The children must go."
"No, I won't hear of it. I listened once to your foul plans, and that's enough."
"Don't be a fool. If anyone must go, it's the children. If we die from hunger, they'll follow soon after anyway. Better to save our lives, at least. This time we'll take them farther into the forest. They'll never find their way out again. It's the only chance we have to save ourselves.
I'm a fool for marrying you. Give me some peace, woman. I'd sooner share my last mouthful with my children than live with a heavy heart.
But the woman would not give up, and finally the woodcutter agreed to her crippled logic. The children heard the whole conversation, shivering under their thin blankets and unable to sleep.
What are we to do now, Hansel? I'll creep outside and find some more pebbles, just as before.
But the stepmother was not to be tricked again, and when Hansel reached the door, he found it locked. He crept back into bed, more frightened than he let on to his sister, who was crying softly into her pillow.
Don't worry. Try to go to sleep, Gretel. I'm sure that God will help us.
In the morning, the stepmother chased the children out of their beds, ordered them to get dressed quickly, and gave them a piece of bread, even smaller than what she had given them before. A few minutes later, they were trudging towards the forest. The sky was overcast, and a sense of doom followed them. As secretly as possible, Hansel crumpled some bread in his pocket and dropped a few pieces on the ground whenever no one was looking. Careful as he was, his father soon noticed that something was amiss.
Hansel, why do you constantly stop and look around? You're holding us up.
Why, I'm looking back at my pigeon, Father. See him sitting on the roof? He wants to say goodbye to me.
You fool! That's not your pigeon! It's the weathercock!
In spite of the scolding, Hansel still managed to scatter all his breadcrumbs on the path as the woman led the children deeper and deeper into the forest, farther than they had ever been before. Once more a great fire was made, and the woodcutter and his wife prepared to leave the frightened children.
I want you to sit there in front of the fire, children. If you get tired, you can sleep a little. Your father and I are going into the forest to cut wood. As soon as we're done, we'll come and fetch you.
The day passed slowly. When they could bear their hunger no longer, Gretel shared her small piece of bread with Hansel, who had used all of his to leave a trail. Soon they fell asleep. When they awakened, it was as dark as slate.
Oh, Hansel, what are we to do? It's so dark I can't even see you. How will we ever find our way home this time?
Just wait, Gretel. The moon will rise soon, and then we'll be able to see the crumbs of bread that I scattered on the ground. They'll show us our way home.
As Hansel had promised, the moon did come out. But alas, there were no crumbs to be found. Little did they realize that the crumbs had been eaten by birds, and not one remained. However, Hansel did not give up easily.
Come on, Gretel. I'm sure we'll find the way.
All night they walked, and all the next day, too, but they did not get out of the forest. If anything, they were even further away from their home.
Oh, Hansel, I can't go on. My legs won't move another inch, and I'm so hungry.
Here, take these berries I found, Gretel. We'll rest here for a while.
The two children lay down beneath a bush, huddling close together for warmth, and fell asleep. The next morning they dragged themselves up and began to walk again, holding on to one another for support and light-headed with hunger.
I'm afraid I shall die if help doesn't come soon, Hansel.
Look, Gretel! Have you ever seen a bird as beautiful as that?
Though she was barely able to stand on her feet and aware only of her own misery, Gretel couldn't help but be uplifted by the bird's stunning white feathers and its haunting song. For several minutes they stood looking and listening, their weary faces relieved by an expression of hope. Then the bird spread its wings and glided away from them.
I think it wants us to follow, Hansel.
And so it did. Soon they reached a little house. The bird alighted on the roof.
Do you see what I see?
We must be dreaming. The house is built of bread and cake.
And all the windows are made of clear sugar. We can finally eat our fill, Gretel. I'll eat a bit of the trim around the window, and you can have the window by itself. It will be so sweet. And so the children attacked the house, eating only as the starved can eat. A moment later, a voice floated out of the house's interior.
Nibble, nibble like a mouse. Who is nibbling at my house?
The children answered,
The wind, the heaven-born wind.
The children continued to eat, too intent on their food to think of anything else. Suddenly, the door flew open, and an old, withered woman on crutches came limping towards them. Hansel and Gretel were so frightened that the food fell from their hands, and they pressed themselves against the house. But then the old woman spoke.
You dear, dear children, who has brought you here? Never mind, never mind. Do come inside and stay with me. No harm will come to you here.
And so the old woman took them by the hand and led them into her quaint house, where they received all the good food they could eat. Pancakes with sugar, apples and nuts, and all the milk they could drink.
Come over here, children. I have two cozy beds waiting just for you. Look, I've put clean sheets on each bed, and these quilts I made will keep you warm as my breath.
Hansel and Gretel had never slept in such welcoming beds. When they lay down, they each thought they were in heaven. What the children didn't know was that the old woman had only pretended to be so kind. In reality, she was a wicked witch who had built a house made of sugar and cake that would lure children to her. When a child fell into her power, she killed it, cooked it, and then ate it. And this was what she had in mind for Hansel and Gretel. Early the next morning, the witch rose before the children were awake and watched them in their sleep.
They were easy catches. Once I fatten them up a bit, they'll be a tasty mouthful.
The witch's horrible laughter awakened Hansel.
What's going on?
Quiet, you little wretch. It's to the stable with you.
And the witch seized him with one shriveled hand and dragged him into the stable and locked him in behind a grated door.
Aim all you want,
let me out of here!
Wretch.
Let me out of here!
Do you no good!
Let me out of here!
The witch returned to the house and shook Gretel until she awakened her from her deep slumber.
Get up, you lazy thing, and fetch some water. Then cook something for your brother and make it tasty. I want him to be fat so I can have a feast on his body.
Gretel wept bitterly, but it did her no good, for she was forced to do what the wicked witch commanded. While the best food was cooked for Hansel, Gretel found nothing but scraps. Every morning the witch hobbled to the stable and cried out,
Hansel, stretch out your finger so I can feel if you'll soon be fat.
Hansel, who had not lost his craftiness, held out one old bone to her. Since the old woman's eyesight was very poor, she couldn't tell the difference and thought the bone was Hansel's finger.
Ah, you obstinate boy! Is there no way to fatten you?
4 weeks passed. Hansel still remained as thin as he was when he arrived, or this is what the witch thought. Seized with impatience, she could wait no longer.
Hey there, Gretel! Get those lazy bones of yours moving and bring me some water. Whether Hansel is fat or lean, tomorrow I kill him and cook him.
Gretel was overcome with sorrow. The tears flowed down her cheeks, and she called out,
Dear God, please help us. If the wild beasts in the forest had devoured us, we would at least have died together. Take my life, too.
Keep your noise to yourself, you little fool. It won't help you at all.
But Gretel did not give up hope. Early the next morning, she had to gather wood and then light the fire.
After you've hung up the cauldron filled with water, we'll bake while the water is heating. I've already lit the oven and kneaded the dough.
Gretel tried to stall, but the witch would have none of it.
Get on with you, over to the oven. I want you to get inside and see if it's properly heated before we put the bread inside.
Ovens in those days were much bigger than they are now, and it was harder to keep the temperature even.
However, Gretel protested.
But there's flames all around the door. I don't see how I can climb inside without getting burnt.
Gretel realized that the witch planned to shut the oven door and let her bake in it so she could eat her too. And so she persisted.
You'll have to show me how to do it. How do I get in such a small space?
Silly goose, the door's more than big enough. Just look, I can climb in myself.
And the old woman opened the oven door and thrust her head inside the oven. Gretel ran up behind her, grabbed hold of the witch's legs, and pushed the screaming woman into the oven, shut the iron door, and fastened the bolt. But Gretel ran out to where Hansel was imprisoned, crying out,
Hansel, oh Hansel, the witch is dead. The horrible witch is dead. We're saved.
Quickly, Gretel, get the key and unlock the stable door so we can celebrate together.
The key? But I don't know where she kept it. Oh, Hansel, what if she hid it and is the only one who knows where it is? How will I get you out?
It must be inside the house somewhere. Didn't she have a big wooden chest that she unlocked with the same key?
I think so. I'll go and look.
Gretel spent half the day looking in cupboards and drawers, closets in the storeroom, but nowhere could she find the key.
I've looked everywhere, Hansel. She must have had it in her apron pocket.
But she had no pockets in her apron, Gretel, or in her dress. Don't give up. It must be somewhere.
And so Gretel began her search again, looking under rugs and behind pictures, but still there was no sign of the mysterious key. Just as she was about to go out and tell Hansel how hopeless it all was, she tripped on a loose board and fell to her knees.
Oh, ouch! That hurts! What tripped me?
Gretel knelt on the floor and felt around until her fingers found the board she'd tripped over.
Darn old board anyway, but what's this? The board is loose. Why, there's a space underneath it and a metal box. What could be inside?
Gretel lifted the box out of the hole and opened the lid. Inside were some tattered-looking papers which contained all the wicked spells that the witch had used to make the forest her own. And underneath the papers was the key that would free her brother.
Hansel, I found it! I found it! Here, I'll have the door unlocked before you can say...
Zounds! I'm free! We can go home!
Yes, and I found all the spells that the witch used to have power over the forest. Let's burn them so no one can ever use them again.
So the children built another fire and watched the papers flare up and then turn into black bits of charred paper that could never be used again. Then they hugged each other with joy and danced around the fire, free at last to leave.
There's one thing I want to do before we go, Gretel. I want to open that old wooden chest and see what's inside it.
Me too. I used to hear the witch open it at night when she thought I was sleeping and spend hours looking inside and cackling.
The lock on the chest opened easily and Hansel flung the lid back. At first, all the children could do was gape. They had never seen so much wealth. There were emeralds and rubies and diamonds, as well as silver and gold coins, enough to support a whole village.
These are far better than pebbles. Come on, Gretel, fill your pockets with as much as you can. We'll make Father a rich man.
Gretel filled her pinafore full, then weighted down with their newfound wealth, the two children once more took off into the forest. After walking for a time, they came to a great expanse of water that stretched as far as they could see in either direction.
We can't go across, Gretel. There's no bridge.
And no ferry. But look, there's a white duck swimming nearby. Maybe she'll help us across if I ask her. Little duck, dost thou see? Hansel and Gretel are waiting for thee. There's never a plank or bridge in sight. Take us across on thy back so white.
The duck swam over to them, and Hansel seated himself on its back.
Come on, Gretel, there's room for you too.
No, that would be too heavy for the little duck. Let her take you across, then she can come back for me.
It took the duck no time at all to ferry the children across the water. Soon they had entered a part of the forest that was familiar to them and began to run, for they saw their father's house in the distance. The woodcutter was sitting on the stairs outside his house, head in his hands, when the children rushed up and threw themselves around their father's neck.
What's this? Hansel and Gretel, you've returned. Or are you ghosts? Oh, I deserve to be haunted by your ghosts after what I did to you.
But, Father, we're not ghosts. Look, do these coins look like something a ghost would carry?
Hansel and Gretel emptied their pockets in front of their startled father.
Where did you find such wealth? I can't believe my eyes.
The children danced around their father in glee. Later he told them how unhappy he had been since he'd left them in the forest, and that their stepmother had died soon after from a sickness that spread through the land. The children forgave all and spent many happy years in the house on the forest's edge. Well, Princess Tamalpa, did you meet a witch in the forest?
No, just a few squirrels and my own fears.
How do you feel now?
Well, you know, after spending the night there, I'm not so afraid of the forest anymore.
Why don't you take a shower and I'll fix you something to eat? We'll say goodbye to you listeners now.
Until next week, same time, same station.
Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Shop is a creation of Lily Iona Susi and Gail Wittenmeyer Mills.